Okay, yes, good morning. Okay, I think we'll have a smaller crowd. It's the public holiday. I know people might think it's not on, but it doesn't matter. We missed last week, so I didn't want to miss this weekend. I think it's almost all the same now. The holidays, every day's a holiday. Okay, so we will start. We didn't have a share last week, so just a very quick recap. I hope people don't mind a little bit of review. So we were talking about, as we know, generally this is the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, the sin of the golden calf. And we mentioned how Bnei Yisrael thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was delayed, how the Satan showed them Moshe Rabbeinu suspended, how they felt lost and alone, how Aaron approved the making of the, how they approached Aaron and Chor, and then Chor tried to tell them not to, but then they killed Chor and Aaron helped them make the Egel. And we saw how they formed the Egel. They brought sacrifices. They celebrated early in the morning. And now the point that we were at, and we discussed a little bit last 2 weeks ago, but we'll go more in depth, is where Hashem is actually telling Moshe Rabbeinu to descend from the mountain because your people have sinned. And Moshe begins immediately to plead on behalf of the Jewish people because he sees Hashem's anger, and Hashem actually expresses his anger, and Moshe defends the Jewish people, so to speak, tries to plead on their behalf very, very strongly. And we're going to analyze that today a little bit with more depth than we have up until now. I hope you don't mind, I know it's repetitious, I just want to read again some of the psukim. You don't have those psukim on your screen. I'll just read them very, very quickly and translate them. And I'll just because we're going to go into them more in depth, and some of the wording is very, very exact. So, just starting from, if you have a chumash, it's chumash meis, parshas kisisa, perek lamed beis. But I'll, like I said, this will just be for a very quick recap. Just want to see. We'll start again from, from Pasuk Tes, from verse 9 in chapter 32. And like I say, just a quick recap, and then we're going to go into the commentaries that are on the screen. Vayemer Hashem al Moshe, so Hashem said to Moshe, Ra'isi es ha'om hazeh, I see this nation, vihine am kshei. I just wanted to start a pasuk before that. I'm really sorry. Pasuk Zayin, that Hashem says to Moshe, Leich Reid, right? You should go down, Kishiches Amcha, because your nation has sinned, the nation that you took out of Egypt, and they very quickly went off the way. Then the next pasuk, as we're up to now, Ayemer Hashem al Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, Ra'isi es ha'am hazeh, I see this nation, Vihine am kshei oirefu, it is a stiff-necked nation. Now, we discussed this last week with some of the commentaries about 2 weeks ago about this idea of being stiff-necked and being stubborn. But just one quick, very interesting thing that it says there, Abarbanel explains quite beautifully, that he says, what does stiff-necked mean? As we said, the neck is so stiff, it's like you have such a stiff neck that you can't even turn around. And he said, what that means is that they don't even see what's following them. Which means, in this context, it means they don't see what's coming, what's ahead. And we know in Pirkei Avos it says, Ezehu chacham haroya es hanoilat. Who is wise? Somebody who can see, so to speak, the future. But in this context, it means the result of what they're doing. So when you are stiff-necked, you are so stubborn that you put yourself into a position and you can't see any other perspective and you don't see the consequences of what you are doing. That's quite negative. But we know that that's also a positive because that's what held us throughout the generations. So what we have to make sure is to use it as a positive and not to allow ourselves to become stuck, so to speak, in its negativity. Okay, then Hashem said, now the pasuk that we're going to concentrate more, the ata hanichali. Right now Hashem says, since they're such a stiff-necked nation and they've done such a terrible thing, they've sacrificed and they've served another god so quickly. So now Hashem says, the ata hanichali, leave me. And as we spoke about it, as I said 2 weeks ago, today we're going to see more in depth. Hashem is telling Moshe to leave him, and why? Vayichar api bahem, and I shall unleash my anger at them. Va'achalem, and I will totally destroy them. I will consume them. Ve'esa oischal agoy gadol, I will make you, Moshe, into a very great nation. Interesting, we know we mentioned this when Hashem said, leave me. What that really means is desist from me, but he's inviting Moshe to plead for the people. And this is actually a very beautiful concept, because what Hashem is telling Moshe, and actually all of us, because we all read these psukim, these are all lessons for each and every one of us, not just for people as great as Moshe, but for me and you as well. This is if we see, God forbid, somebody doing something wrong, or if perhaps it's even ourself, and we want to plead on their behalf or on our behalf. Hashem is actually, even though it seems a little bit challenging, and it looks like Hashem might be distant, so we say, like Hashem is saying, Hanichali, leave me. But really, what is Hashem saying? Hashem is inviting us to plead. And he's providing it's a very beautiful thing. It's showing that every person, and especially anybody in a position of leadership, but all of us who have an influence on somebody else, or as we say, even on ourselves, we have to remember that we should feel the pain and continuously, consistently plead on their behalf. As we say, with kindness and with concern. So we have to feel that. That's what Hashem is saying. When Hashem says, leave me, he really means, don't leave me. He's opening up, as we say, the conversation, that because Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't even started talking. So if you tell somebody to be quiet before they start, that means I'm waiting to hear something from you. And that's what Hashem is telling all of us, that we should feel everybody's pain, and we should never hesitate. Not only shouldn't we hesitate, but we should always barge in, so to speak, and plead with kindness and concern for somebody else. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's pleading wasn't just with kindness and concern, and we're going to see it today, but it was with tremendous, tremendous wisdom. The way he presents his argument is in a way which almost makes it impossible for Hashem to deny what he's asking for. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what we say, Moshe Rabbeinu continues in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayichal Moshe. Again, we did this, but Moshe Rabbeinu pleads, he's insisting, and that's what we have to do. We have to plead and insist, so to speak. We have to put ourselves in emotionally. Es Pnei Hashem, Elikov, the face of Hashem is God, Vayemer, and he says, Lomo Hashem Yechere Apcha Ba'amecha. Why are you angry at your nation, Asher Hetzesa Meretz Mitzrayim, that you have taken out of Egypt, B'Koyach Gadol, with strength, U'Biyad Chazak, and a strong hand? And I know we've done these psukim, but like I say, today we're going to see them in much more depth. And then we continue, and he's insisting, and he continues, and he says, Lama Yomru Mitzrayim Lemer. Why should the Egyptians say, that you have taken them out for an evil intent, so to speak? Why? Lahare Gaisem Baharim, to kill them in the mountains, Ulchaloisam, and to destroy them, to erase them, Me'alpnei Adama, from the face of the earth. Shuv Mecharoina Pecha, and this is famous words, as we mentioned. We use this in our davening to Hashem whenever we are pleading for forgiveness. Shuv Mech, and part of our part of our, as we say, pleading for forgiveness, our vidui, and as we say, shuv mecharoi napecha, so relent from your burning anger, v'hinochein al hara'a la'amecha, and reconsider regarding the evil against your nation. It sounds like a double, but the Mefarshim explained this is not double. What Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is relent from your burning anger now against the Jewish people at the present moment, and in the future, v'hinochem, in the future, al hara'a la'amecha, whenever your nation will make mistakes, make sure that you reconsider and don't immediately act, so to speak, by punishing them. So it's for now and for the future. And then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we know, as we saw, that Moshe Rabbeinu invokes the Zchus Avos. So this is the famous thing, as we mentioned, that whenever we're pleading, again, we plead for somebody else or pleading for ourselves, you can see that Moshe Rabbeinu, he mentioned extenuating circumstances, right? They were taken out of Egypt. And he mentioned the fact that it's going to be a Chil Hashem, you know, the Egyptians, what are they going to say? But we see that Zchus Avos, the merit of the Avos, is even greater and stronger than that. Greater and stronger argument than extenuating circumstances. Or Chilul Hashem is the fact that we have Zchus Avos. Again, this is a message for all of us. And this we incorporate every day. That's why in Shemayna Esrei, we begin immediately. Elekei Avraham, Elekei Yitzchak, Velekei Yaakov. We do that. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that this is the most incredible formula that we can do. And it works. It works. And this this is better than many, many other, so to speak, excuses, if you want to say, or it's not a word, it's not excuses, but any other way of arousing Hashem's compassion, this is one of the greatest ways. And when we say Shemayne Esrei every day, and we mention, we invoke, so to speak, the schus, the merit of the forefathers for ourselves, we actually, there's a beautiful thing I once saw, where we can imagine, it's more than just imagining, we transport ourselves as if we are in Hebron and we are davening at Maris HaMachpelah, literally by the graves of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we can do that twice a day if we daven Shachos and Mincha, three times a day if we daven Ma'ariv. We can literally place ourselves at the caver of the Avos. But even more than that, and that's not over here, there's one more thing that's even greater than Schus Avos, and that Hashem will reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to see that later, and that's the 13 attributes of mercy. And that's what we know. We say that on special days, when we invoke the 13 attributes of mercy, that's even greater, in a sense, than the Schus Avos. But here in this context, we can see Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us that this is something that we can use at all times. Okay, so he's teaching us all these beautiful things. Now I'd like to go back, and I'm going to show you on the text. We're going to go into depth into some of these psukim that we've just read. We've started last week, and we're going to go more this week. Okay, so just very, very quickly, I wanted to show you on number 4, which is the Ramban on the screen. So this is the Ramban on Pasuk Yud, which is Hanichali, right? We mentioned the Pasuk that Hashem said, leave me, right? Leave me. Leave me alone, so to speak, and go down, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. But we know the message wasn't leave me. Let's see what the Ramban asks. Interesting. It almost sounds like from the Pasuk, leave me ve'ech ois, and I will be angry. Ki im loy chara apay adayin, eich yechara apay achrei sheyenichenu Moshe. The Ramban says, it's very hard to read it the way it seems. It seems to say, leave me alone and then I will become angry. Well, that's not the case. Hashem is already angry, right? Because they already sinned. And what he's telling Moshe is, leave me because I am angry, right? So how do we read the Pasuk? So the Pasuk really should be read, according to the Ramban, Derech HaPshat Sheyoymar Hanichali V'achalein B'chorein Api. Leave me so that I can destroy them with my anger. Of course, I'm already angry, but why do I want you to leave me? Because I want to unleash my anger upon them. And I guess as long as Moshe is in his presence, he doesn't feel capable of doing that. So he says, go down so I can unleash my anger on them. That's, according to the Ramban, that's the pshat, how you read the Pasuk. But the Ramban also gives us a beautiful way of looking at it with a little bit more depth according to Kabbalah. And he says, over here I'm putting the marker, Val Derech HaEmes, so Derech HaEmes, when the Ramban uses that language, he means according to Kabbalah, Hanicha Rachami, leave, I will leave my compassion. Umidas Hadin Sheli, Tischara Bahem. And when I leave my attribute of compassion on the side, that's what I'm going to leave. So here, when he says Hanichali, he's not talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's almost as saying to Moshe, what's going to happen? I'm going to put aside my attribute of compassion. And what am I going to be focusing on? And what's going to be dominant? My Midas Hadin. Look, he says, Umidas Hadin Sheli, my attribute of justice, Tischara Bahem, will be angry, will rise up, so to speak, with anger at them, Va'achalem Ba, and I will destroy them with it. Ki imi ein la rishus bahem. Because with me, it has absolutely no jurisdiction. In other words, when I am full of compassion, the attribute of justice can do nothing. So if I leave myself in that space of compassion, and we see something quite beautiful here, that what is Hashem's default position? The attribute of compassion. He has to leave that aside to go to justice and be able to punish the Jewish people. But as he says, I have to leave the compassion and then I will be able to punish them. Okay, let's go now. We're going to go a little bit more in another Ramban also to understand the context, but let's see just a little more the Ara Chaim, as he tells us also, what does this mean? Hanichali, what was Hashem saying to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Ara Chaim tells us, Ubederech Remez, this is number 5 on this sheet. It's also an Ara Chaim on Pasuk Yod. Ubederech Remez Yirma. So in a hinting way, it alludes to. Shalaitziva Allah, that he didn't command him, Hanicha, Ella Ba'isai Ace. This is a very important thing. When Hashem tells Moshe, leave me, he doesn't mean leave me permanently, go, finished, I don't want to know from you anymore. Temporarily. Just leave me for a few moments, so to speak. V'loy tamid, and not constantly. Umi might say davar atiyadeya, sheyamay tekef umiyad bitfila. And as a result, we realize, what did Moshe do? He immediately started to daven. He didn't even wait 1 second, and he started to daven. He saw that Hashem, as we said according to the Ramban, and we understand that Hashem was donning, so to speak, the attribute of justice, and he realized the precarious situation. So immediately, without any hesitation, like quickly, he starts to daven on behalf of the Jewish people. Ki yomar va'ata, afilu al shiur rega. So even for a moment, he doesn't wait. Like, just as Hashem says now, so to speak, and already Moshe is starting to daven. So he shouldn't leave Hashem in a state of anger, even for one moment. And another thing he says is a very beautiful thing that Hashem is telling Moshe. It's actually quite a sharp message, the Arachayim says. That Hashem is telling Moshe, you know why you should leave me? You should leave me because you also have to reflect. What do you have to reflect upon? You also have to do tshuva. Why? Remez lai sheyase tshuva al hasoivev mimenu. Because something came, a part of the Jew's sin is a result from you. You caused it. What does that mean? Ki hatos yotzam bidvarav. Because the mistake that the Jewish people made with the dates came from your words. They didn't understand your words exactly. Sha'amar lahem l'sayf arba'im, right? Because you said to them, I'm going to come at the end of 40 days. Aniba, I'm coming. V'loy perish lahem shahu levad me'aysayayim shemizeh tohu. And he didn't specify that it's besides that day, excluding that day. In other words, such a powerful lesson. Moshe didn't really do anything wrong. But we see from here how careful we have to be with our words, that when we share something with somebody else, and God forbid, if they take it and unfortunately make a mistake with that, to a certain extent we are held responsible. We have to be very, especially a leader like Moshe, but we have to be very careful. People shouldn't misinterpret, so to speak, what we say. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is told over here. Hanicha li, leave me. In other words, reflect upon your part of this sin. Why would he tell that to Moshe? Perhaps one thing we can understand from this is just an interesting thing generally, that when we want to plead for somebody, but not just plead, when we want to relate to somebody else, when we want to be connected to somebody else, which Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to sustain his relationship with the Jewish people, you have to not feel way above them. So if Moshe Rabbeinu feels like he's totally innocent and they are totally guilty, there's no connection. Here Hashem says, you're a person just like them. They misinterpreted your words. You have a slight part which gave Moshe the ability to relate to the Jewish people in a very deep way, where he was part of their situation. So this is a very important thing. As we know with us as well, we should never, ever, obviously, feel way above anybody else, even though sometimes we feel we can't relate to what somebody else does. We think that something's so beyond us, we would never behave in that way. But if we scrutinize ourselves, we'll see that perhaps we wouldn't behave exactly in that way, but slightly, who knows, you know, slightly, we might have something. Okay, let's go on to the next Ramban, because here we're going to see, we're starting now to understand in depth a little more Moshe Rabbeinu's defense of the Jewish people. So we're going to see in the Ramban, and we'll see in the Kli Yakar in depth. The Ramban tells us something very powerful. This is a very interesting question. I think we might have mentioned the question last time, but we didn't do the answer how the Ramban understands it. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there, and Hashem, he can see that Hashem is angry, right? Hashem has already spelled out what the Jewish people have done. He knows what they've done, right? He's aware. It's a terrible thing. There's no question. And he can see that Hashem is very angry. And what does he do? How does he respond? So he says to Hashem, Lama Hashem yechra pecha. Hashem, why are you angry? What kind of response is that? Hashem has just clearly stated why he was angry. He very clearly explained it, and Moshe understood it. So what's this excuse, why are you angry? What's Moshe saying here, in a way that would antagonize Hashem even more. It might. So let's see what the Ramban says. Hine b'chet ha'gadol hazeh ha'yaro'i Moshe she'yispalel derech vidoy utchina. So this is the Ramban on Pasuk Yud Aleph. Lama Hashem yechara pecha. In this sin, it sounds like it would have been made more sense for Moshe Rabbeinu to daven to Hashem to plead in a way of vidoy utchina, which is like confession and pleading and like saying, yeah, they made a big mistake, but please, please, please forgive them. Instead of finding, so to speak, an excuse, what did they already do? That's what it sounds like he's saying, like almost minimizing. As the Ramban brings, as he says, Ke'inyan Anna, and Moshe Rabbeinu does it later, Anna chata ha'mazeh chata gedayla. Oh my gosh, this nation has done a terrible sin. That's what he does later, but that's not what he does initially. Why not? Ukehispalel Ezra, we see, but if you look in the future, Ezra, ukehisfadusai al ma'al hagayla, that Ezra, what he did was, he, so to speak, he was like pleading with Hashem about the sins of those who were going into Golus, they were in Golus already, and acknowledging that they had sinned. That sounds like that would make much more sense. The ain tam sheyomer lama Hashem. It doesn't make sense that he said, why are you angry? So the Ramban says that there are other commentaries who have addressed this, and they have many different explanations. Lahaskir kamatamim, lema'i tachet lefanav, that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to minimize the sin. The Ramban says, I have a different view. He says, al derech ha'emes, yomer. What was he saying? Lama titein rishus. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't minimizing anything, but he was saying to Hashem, Lama Hashem yechere apecha. What does that mean? Lama titein rishus l'midas hadin lihyos shayletes ba'amecha. Why, God, are you giving permission, and it's only with your permission? Why are you giving permission for the attribute of justice to rule over the Jewish people? Because you know, ki ata haitseisa oisam l'shimcha, you took them out to your name, so to speak, for your sake, Meretz Mitzrayim. How? B'midas harachamim, with the attribute of compassion b'hem. U'b'midas hadin al seinehem, and your attribute of justice, where did you use that? That was used on the Egyptians. Why all of a sudden are you taking your attribute of justice and now using it against the Jewish people? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. And this is a very strong thing that Moshe is asking Hashem and pleading with Hashem, in a sense almost, here is where they need your compassion the most. And now you're going to don, so to speak, the cloak of the judge, of the severe judge. And this pleading and this tefillah that it says, why Hashem and why should the Egyptians say, and now the Ramban addresses something else, which I'll just tell you a little bit orally because it's hard to understand from the wording. Mishneh Torah refers to Chumash Devarim. And you know that in Chumash Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu is the last, you know, month before he passes away, he gives a whole recap of the whole time of the Jewish people in the desert. And amongst his long speech, he goes through many of the things that the Jewish people did, amongst which he touches quite extensively on the sin of the Egel. And he recaps everything that happened. When you look there, when he's recapping, what does he do? How does he explain, so to speak? How does he, not explain, but how does he review this story? So it's very interesting. He reviews the story in a way, it says, that he says to the people, v'espalel al Hashem, he says, I daven to Hashem, v'aymer Hashem aleikim al tishachis amcha, I said to God, Hashem, my God, do not destroy your nation, ki inyin hatfila shove b'shneihem. The concept of the davening is equal in both of them, meaning both here and in Chumash Devarim. It was the same davening, but I'll tell you what the Ramban has a problem with. So over here, if you look at the context and the order of the psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the mountain. Hashem says, your nation has sinned, go down, right? And Moshe, before he goes down, what does he do? He starts to daven, right? He says, Hashem, please don't be angry at your nation. After he says that, and Hashem says, okay, I won't be angry, then Moshe goes down, and we know what the story tells us. When he goes down, he destroys the Egel. He makes the Jewish people, some of them actually die in a plague. He makes them drink the ashes of the Egel that he burns. He does a whole purification process. And then when he gets rid of the idol worship and gets rid of the idol worshippers, he goes back up to the mountain and he starts his davening and his pleading again. So we can see that from our psukim, there seems to be, according to the Ramban, two different times where Moshe Rabbeinu davens. Before he goes down, like right away when Hashem tells him, and then he davens a very short tefillah, then he goes down and gets rid of the idol worship, then he comes back and does a long beseeching for the Jewish people. Interesting, in Chumash Devarim, it doesn't appear that way. In Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't specify that, and he lumps his tefillah all into one, as if he davened once for the Jewish people. So I'll just show you something very interesting. So the Evan Ezra, according to the Ramban, it says, V'das Rabbi Avram, ki Moshe lo hispalel ba'ad Yisrael kol zman shehoisa avayda zara b'neihem. So according to the Evan Ezra, our psukim are a little bit out of order. And the truth is that when Hashem said to Moshe, leave me, Moshe went right down and destroyed the idol, and only then did he go back up and start pleading, because according to the Avodah Zarah, according to Evan Ezra, Moshe couldn't plead while there was still idol worship amongst the Jewish people. That's what the Evan Ezra thinks. That's the Evan Ezra's view. But the Ramban says no, he doesn't agree with that. And he says an interesting thing. He says that Aval Kasher Amarlai, Haref Mimeni Vashmidem Isbainim Ki Adavar Toliboy, V'yered Ubar Ha'egel. That's what the Evan Ezra says. He thought that the thing is dependent on him. Moshe Rabbeinu thought, I must go down and burn the Egel. V'shov, and then L'hispalel Barbam. And then he went back up and davened for 40 days. V'ein Muktam U'muchar B'Torah. There's no order in the Torah. That's why we have this tefillah here, according to the Evan Ezra. It's out of place. He didn't daven right away. He only davens after he destroys the Egel. The Ramban says, V'ein Dati Kein. My opinion is not so. Ba'avur shatfila sha'asa b'shuvai hi asher yisaper. No, the Ramban says, the davening that Moshe Rabbeinu did when he went back up on the mountain, that's that tfila that we have on chata ha'amazeh chata g'dayla. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, this nation has done a terrible sin, and he pleads for them. That's later on in the Pesukim. V'im ha'kol tefillah achas, if it's all one tefillah, sha'asa ba'arbaim hayoyim acharei shuvay lahar, that Moshe Rabbeinu did all at once after he returned to the mountain for 40 days, lama yechalakoy, so why does the psukim divide them? V'yaskir kan, and tells us over here in our psukim a little bit, miktsasa, v'acharei hayurida, yaskir ha'miktsasa achar, and after he goes down and goes back up, it tells us the rest. So the Ramban says, Aval hein shtei tefilos. There were two sets of davening, and it's actually very important. Why? V'lochein nira. Ki kasher amar lai. So when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, hanichali, leave me. Why? V'yichar api bahem v'achalem. So I'm going to be really angry. In other words, I'm going to unleash my anger upon them, and I'm going to destroy them. Miad chala pnei Hashem v'loi. Acher Icher Klal. Immediately he pleads and he insists and he doesn't delay for a moment. He doesn't go down and burn the Avodah Zarah and punish the Jewish people. No. He immediately begins pleading. Why? Ki haya yare, because he was petrified. Moshe Rabbeinu was petrified. Pen yotza haketzef milifnei Hashem. Maybe this anger and what this anger leads to is, so to speak, the destructive angels will leave the presence of Hashem, and what will happen? Vayichal hanegev l'chaloysam karega, and the plague will consume them immediately, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu thought, if I don't plead now, by the time I get down, there could be no nation left. They could be totally destroyed. As we understand, Moshe was, so to speak, in the presence of Hashem, so he felt the severity and the intensity of Hashem's anger. Umiyad Amar. That's why he said immediately, Loma Hashem Yechra Apecha Bamecha. Right? Why you, as we said, why are you allowing your justice to take over? Sorry. And that's what the Ramban quotes from the Medrash. He says, V'chein matzasi be'elish mais rabba. That's what I found in the Medrash Rabba. Amar Moshe. If I leave the Jewish people, the Ered Li, and I go down, this is incredible, Ein Li Yisrael, Tekuma Ba'olam. The Jewish people will not be existing in the world. There will be no existence. They will be totally gone by the time I come there. Ava Eini Zaz Mikan. Mikan, a very strong language. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am not moving from here. Ad She'avake Shaleim Rachamim, until I ask for compassion for them, until I plead on their behalf. Miad hischil Moshe, lelamed aleim sanigara. So that's why immediately Moshe tried to find some kind of defense for them, some way of defending them. Vihine yispalel aleim, so he davens for them. And what do we see? Hashem did do something. What did Hashem do? What's the so to speak, what's the result of this short tefillah? It says, V'nocham Hashem al hara, right? So he retracted on the bad that he was going to do to them. Asher dibra laharei goysam ulechaloysam, that he said, I'm going to destroy them, I'm going to wipe them out. That he retracted. But loy shenisratz elohem. He didn't, so to speak, change his whole view and become, so to speak, you know, at peace and love them, if you want to say. He didn't totally forgive them. No, that's not what happened here. It wasn't as if now he totally repaired the relationship. No, but what he did do was, what Moshe accomplished was Hashem's anger was, so to speak, calmed. And Hashem said, I will not lash out immediately, I will not destroy them. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to accomplish first. Raksha Amar Nichamti Loy Esekala, right? I've retracted, I regret, and I will not destroy them. V'kevan Shehoye Loy Pnai. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw this, so he says, okay, now I have a free moment. Now I can leave. Why? Because now I will go down. Yered Moshe. So he goes down. V'sorof Esa Egel, and he destroys, he burns the Egel, the Hara Gavadav, and obviously the ones who actually served it were killed. The Achar Cain, and after all of that, Amar La'am, then he says to the nation, Ale El Hashem, I will go back up to Hashem, Ulay Achapra Ba'ad Chataschem, maybe he will be able to, I will be able to gain atonement for your sin, Sheyim Chalachem, that Hashem will actually forgive you. And that's how the Ramban explains. That's why these words are used here. These were very sharp words of Moshe, where all he's doing is he's trying to stop the unleashing of the anger, and then he will go down, get rid of the Avodah Zarah, come back up, and be able to, hopefully, and that's what happened, gain true atonement for the Jewish people. So you can see the process that Moshe Rabbeinu is going through, just to put ourselves on. I mean, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu, but nevertheless we can understand a little bit of the, if you want to say, first of all, the pain, in a sense almost the fear that Moshe Rabbeinu had for the Jewish people, the pain, and that also helps us to understand that when Moshe Rabbeinu descended the mountain, and we're going to see that next week in Beretz Hashem, and he breaks the luchos in front of the Jewish people, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was in an extremely, if you want to say, the word is not emotional, but he saw Hashem's anger at firsthand, and he knew how precarious the situation was. And he had just, so to speak, almost put a delay. You know, he had put like a pause button on. But he knew that it was only the beginning of the process. And there's a long process ahead to gain forgiveness. This is all part of what Moshe Rabbeinu is going through. And that's when he comes down and he shares that with the Jewish people. Something very, very, very beautiful. I just want to share with you a very beautiful thing that in Chumash Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the whole story, there's also another thing that he says there that's not mentioned here at all. When he tells the Jewish people what he went through and how he had to plead on their behalf, he says to the Jewish people, I pleaded on your behalf, and I also pleaded on behalf of Aaron. And then Hashem had to forgive Aaron. Interesting, he doesn't mention it here at all. Why? When Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jewish people in Chumash Devarim, Aaron has already passed away. because that's just before Moshe passes away. Aaron passed away a few months before Moshe, in the month of Av, and Moshe passed away in Adar, so a few months later. And this speech was given in the month of Shvat. So Aaron had already passed away. Here, during the story, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them what he said to Hashem, and when he shares, he doesn't want to embarrass Aaron. And he doesn't want to show, in a sense, that Aaron needed pleading by Moshe, and that Moshe had to be the one to plead on Aaron's behalf. After Aaron passes away already, he wants to shock the Jewish people and tell them that what they did was so terrible that I even needed to plead on behalf of Aaron. And what we learn is something so incredible from here, the tremendous sensitivity that Moshe Rabbeinu shows just to keep the honor and the dignity of Aaron, if you want to say. It's such an incredible thing. Even for Moshe and Aaron, even though we know Aaron wouldn't have, so to speak, taken offense in any way, but still the fact is that the sensitivity of not even causing a slight shame to Aaron. So that's part of a very beautiful thing. Okay, I just want to see a little bit more, just one more inside, and then I want to show you something. I want to leave time for a beautiful, beautiful Nesivas Shalom to teach us a lesson. So just this, we'll do just this Kliyakar inside. The Kliyakar also takes apart Moshe Rabbeinu's pleading over here and shows that in this one Pasuk, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, we can see again the brilliance, not only the brilliance, but the, because of his care of Bnei Yisrael, of what Moshe is saying to Hashem in this short part of the tefillah, right? The initial part, when he's pleading before he goes down. So it says, first of all, Vayichal Moshe. So the Kliyakar says, what is Vayichal Moshe? Yesh oimim ki vayichal umiloshen vatischalchal. That he was petrified, he trembled. She'achazo chel v'reses. Like he was seized, Moshe Rabbeinu was seized with a tremendous trembling. Es pnei Hashem. Hainu loshen kas. Why? Ki ra'a goydel kasay shel Hashem. So not only he saw Hashem's anger, and he was also starting to be filled with a certain kind of a rage. What was it? V'nivhal, and he was petrified mipachad Hashem. V'yomer, lama Hashem yechra pecha. So what does he say? Why, Hashem, are you angry? What does it mean? Ki ilu amarta liyasram ba'atzmecha. If you would say, Hashem, I'm going to go myself and take care of them. Kasher yaser ishes b'noi, like a man chastises his own son, hecharashti. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I would be silent. Aval masha amarta, but what you are implying here, lishloach bahem malach achzori, that you are going to send a cruel angel, af v'chema, right? The anger of Hashem, as we said, the attribute of justice almost. Lama tase koy lavdecha, why are you going to do like this to your servants? Ki yeshli tainis alzeh, I have complaints on this, Moshe Rabbeinu says. So you can see right away, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lama Hashem yechra pecha, meaning your anger. How come you're unleashing your anger? If you want to go and punish them, okay, fine, but not with your anger. That's something which is destructive and quite scary. And as we know from Egypt, we say that when Hashem let his anger out, right, then the firstborns were destroyed, right? What did all the Jewish people have to do? Put the blood on the doorpost so that it should skip over. Because when the anger is unleashed, sometimes it doesn't actually, you know, as we say, it doesn't distinguish, as we know. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't impressed. And he says to Hashem, hold back on your anger. And then he gives a bunch of beautiful, beautiful reasons. So, in the pasuk, taking it apart specifically. The first thing, Moshe, the first defense. Ha'achas, ba'amecha, your nation. Ki ata amarta li kishiches amcha. You said to me, you know, Hashem, you said to me that who sinned? Your nation, which we know, v'hainu, ha'erev rav, right? Those multitudes, they're the ones who caused the sin. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, if that's the case, v'im kain, lama yechra pecha ba'amecha. So why are you angry at your nation? Right? And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, if it's my nation that sinned, why are you angry at your nation? D'hainu Yisroel. That's the first thing. The second thing Moshe Rabbeinu says, Taina Shnia, the second defense, Asher Haitseisa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is taking apart Pasuk Yud Aleph. The ones that you, the nation that you took out of Egypt, what's that defense? Eretz Meleya Gilulim, Shelavai Dezara. It's a country full of idols, full of idol worship. Ve'en lehispale aleihem kolkach im nispisu acharei ahergel. So why are you so surprised with the fact that they seem to be just going along with what they were used to. They have just been taken out of Egypt, a place immersed in idol worship. So what do you expect from them? That's the second defense. Taina Shlish is the third defense. Bekayach Gadol, how did you take them out? With great strength. Kineged Midas Hadin. Ah, Moshe Rabbeinu saying the attribute of justice. Ki kefi shuras hadin, hayamin haraoi l'chaloysam b'soich eretz Mitzrayim. You used your strength, Hashem, in Egypt to overcome your attribute of justice, which means, which attribute did you use for the Jewish people? The attribute of compassion. So over here, we're saying something very beautiful. Kayach Gadol, Hashem, you had to use a great strength to subdue your attribute of justice, because the truth is, did they deserve to leave Egypt? No. But instead, what did you do? You used your attribute of compassion. So what happened? Why all of a sudden over here are you losing your attribute of compassion, as we say? As he says, Amar l'chaleisem b'saych eretz Mitzrayim ve'es l'man shmi. V'achar sh'ayitzeisem b'kayach gadol k'neged midas hadin im kein kvar heim muchzakem etzlech ba'ayvdei alilim u'man ischadesh ata. Now, you already took them out, right? You already opposed that justice. They didn't deserve. So what happened all of a sudden now? Now you're going to start using the justice aspect. And now they're already yours, so to speak. And they've been taken out because you love them. So just continue loving them. Don't judge them harshly. It's like we say with, if you discipline, if you have a certain method of discipline, and if you use certain methods of, if you want to say, punishments, you can't all of a sudden come down very hard. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't work that way. If you've been showing compassion up until now, all of a sudden now, you're going to start engaging with Midas Hadin. That's why he says, Bekayach Gadol. Then he continues and he says, Taina Revius, what's the fourth complaint? Ubiyad Chazaka, with a strong hand. Lefishi Adeya, this is very interesting. She Yisrael Loihayu Reitzim Latseis Mimitzrayim. When you took them out of Egypt, you had to use a strong hand. Why? They didn't even want to leave. K'meishan Demar, Halay Zeh Hadavar Asher Dibarnu Eilecha Bimitzrayim Leimar. Right, this is what I spoke to you in Egypt, saying, Chodol Mimenu V'Navdas Mitzrayim. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu said when Moshe Rabbeinu approached the Jewish people, how did they respond? Leave us alone. Let us stay here. Right, initially, they didn't want to go. As we know, unfortunately, we get used to our situation. And we think, oh, yes, God forbid, it could only get worse, so to speak, so we don't expect it to get better. Well, the Jewish people were in such a mentality, and they were afraid, and they said to Moshe, just leave us alone. So what happened? And we even know what happened. Uksiv v'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael, right? The Jewish people literally translated, they left armed. But really, we translate, kirak chelek chamishi, only one-fifth left Egypt. Allah. V'dalet chalakim mesu, but four parts of them actually died. B'shloishes yemei afela. And right, as we know, in the plague of darkness, in those three dark days. Lefi shalai ratzu lotzeis Mitzrayim, the Jewish people didn't want to leave. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, they didn't even want to go. V'afilu elu shayotzu haitzeisem biyad chazaka bal karcham, even the ones you took out, you also had to, so to speak, almost force them to go. Shalai b'taivasam, k'meisha nemar ki biyad chazaka haitziach Hashem. Hashem took them out with a strong hand. And now that you took them out, so to speak, forcibly, so now it makes sense for you to have compassion on them, that they shouldn't say, so they shouldn't think, you know why he took us out? Because he wanted to punish us afterwards. In other words, if you force somebody to come somewhere, now you have to take care of them. You can't now decide to be angry at them. It doesn't make sense. They didn't even want to be here, so to speak. They're here only because you forced them. Now you must show them compassion. And then Moshe Rabbeinu continues, and he even defends the Erev Rav. He says, V'achar shehelitz b'ad Yisrael. After he has asked, so to speak, in these cryptic formula, cryptic words, which means so much more. He's also alluding to the fact that Hashem is angry at the Erev Rav, to that multitude that he took out. And he says, he's starting to advocate for the Erev Rav. V'amar lama yoimru Mitzrayim. Why should the Egyptians say, Leimar b'ra'itziyam, that you took them out with evil intent, laharei gaisam b'harim, that you want to destroy them in the mountains? Kizein Ashayach Klape Israel. This is not obviously talking about the Jewish people. Filama Tete Kazais Mitachas Yada Yisperach. Why should such a thing happen from Hashem? But Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, what will the Egyptians say? Ella klape ha'erev rav amar kein. Lefi shekvar asa Hashem shvatim b'mitzrayim. What will people, I mean, the Egyptians are not really there anymore, but what will the nations say? The nations will say, what was Hashem's plan? When Hashem punished the Egyptians in Egypt, he gave them, right, he brought 10 plagues upon them. And we know, ach loy hayu gluyin l'chol ha'olam. Not necessarily was the whole world aware of all of the 10 plagues, right? Because it was only happening in Egypt. So what's Hashem's plan? This is what they might say. Hashem's plan is, V'al kein ha'itzi es ha'erev rav. So Hashem takes out some of the Egyptians, these erev rav. Why? K'dei lahareg oisam baharim, so that gvayim, so that he should kill them in the high mountains. Hanirim la'ayim kol, that can be seen by everybody, seen by the public. In other words, Hashem wants to bring some of his punishment in a public way. That the revenge will be in a revealed way, in a publicized way. And then the pasuk doesn't say, not only the Egyptians will say that, but the word lemar. Lemar, we know, means something that will be repeated for the future generations. And here we have a very beautiful thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. L'dayrais, shekach oisim l'geirim. That this is how Hashem treats converts. Haba'im lachasais b'tzel k'nafei yashchina. Who come to, so to speak, how do you say, they want to be under the wings of the Shechina, right? People who convert and want to be part of the Jewish people. V'yimshach mizeh chilul Hashem, and it will obviously cause a tremendous desecration. So in other words, if you punish the Erev Rav, it will reflect badly that Hashem punishes those people who come and want to become part of the Jewish people. V'amar shuv, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says, shuv mecharoi napecha, right? Return from your anger. Well, it's dadim kanti k'negeta erev rav b'keshuv mecharoi napecha, right? You should return from your anger. Shaloi yasrim al yidei malach achzari, don't punish them through a cruel angel. Af the chema, so to speak, the anger. That's what this angel is. He's an angel of anger. U'k'neged Yisrael ha'isif, and corresponding to the Jewish people, he adds, and please, of course, you know, so to speak, retract on the bad that you want to do to your nation. Don't do them any bad. Why? He says, because they weren't even the reason for the sin. They were just copying the Erev Rav. So in this two psukim, the Kliyakar show us the incredible pleading, the wisdom that Moshe Rabbeinu used in his pleading on behalf of the Jewish people. We will continue with more Mefarshim next week inside, but I just want to show you, I'll just share with you something really, really beautiful. I didn't make a copy of the Nesiv HaShalom. I'm sorry, if I find it a little hard, I have to go and scan and whatever, but so I'll just share with you orally something very beautiful. The Nesiv HaShalom explains very beautifully, and he says that this pleading of Moshe Rabbeinu and this process that they're going through is really a lesson for us for all generations. It's a lesson, it's an insight for us how we can do tshuva, right? Because you can see that the Jewish people have just committed something so terrible. They've done the sin of the golden calf, and they're in a terrible state, so to speak. They're in the lowest state possible. So this is a lesson for all of us, no matter how low we reach. What should we do? And in these words, in the psukim, we have a beautiful formula. So first of all, Hashem says, V'ata hanichali. As we translated, just leave me, right? Hashem says to Moshe, now leave me. But the Nesiv HaShalom takes it out of context and he says, hanichali, you can see the word hanicha is also the concept of nachas. Hanicha, nachas. Cause Hashem nachas. Believe it or not, even now, Atta, after you've done such a terrible sin, and you've so to speak, descended to the lowest point that you could think, you can still bring me nachas. How? Through, if you have, bitterness of the heart. In other words, you have to, vayichar api bohem, right? Hashem, that literally means I'm angry at them. But what Hashem is saying is, Hashem is saying to us, to all of us, the message is, how can you bring me nachis? In other words, how will you repair the relationship and be again close to me if you will bring up anger in yourself, not in Hashem, in yourself? What does that mean? Rage, as the Chazal used that language many times, that we should rage against ourselves. In other words, we should feel this strong inner burning rage, if you want to say, how could I have done that? This bitterness of what we have done and this terrible regret. So this is like the rage, vayichar api bahem, that you cause inside of yourself, and you fill yourself with this terrible anger. And then what comes from that? The achalim in the pasuk literally meant I will consume them, but the Nesiv HaShalom says achalim also is from the language of what we know klois hanefesh. Klois hanefesh is translated as the yearning of the soul. When you are filled with this bitterness because you feel the distance, what that will lead to is that you will yearn very strongly to reconnect, because you will feel how disconnected you are, and that will fill you with this incredible feeling of, oh, I really want to come close again. And you yearn very, very deeply to reconnect. I want to just take a little diversion for one second and tell you something beautiful. Today's Hayom Yom, a very beautiful thing. It says that when we're in such a state, unfortunately, when we've made mistakes, all of us make different mistakes, different times in life. And that's called a spiritual illness. So we're in a state of spiritual illness. We're not 100% healthy. So we say that in an illness, in order to be, so to speak, cured, you have to have two stages. The first thing is you have to acknowledge that you're not well. If a person thinks they're well, then they don't go to the doctor and they don't take their medicine and they don't get better, obviously. First, you have to admit that you're not well. As we know, sometimes that's the hardest thing, to convince somebody that there's something wrong. But once you've admitted to yourself and you've acknowledged, as he says over here in the Nesiv HaShalom, and you're filled with that sense of bitterness, right? And you're angry at yourself, so to speak, and you're raging and you're not happy with where you are, a very important second step is that you have to actually go to the doctor and trust him and follow his advice, which means you have to trust and have bitachon that Hashem wants you to repair your relationship and he wants to reconnect and he will provide a way for you to reconnect. And you can be healed. That's a very important component, those two. But going on in our psukim, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? So now, as we say, we have filled with this yearning, v'achalim, and we know that what Moshe Rabbeinu did was, when he went down, he burned the egel, right? He actually burned it. And then they had to eat the ashes. So the Nesiv HaShalom says that this burning is that, again, that feeling of burning rage that we have within us, that we angered Hashem, but that in itself provides the cure. Because Moshe Rabbeinu fed, so to speak, the people had to eat those ashes. The burning, the rage itself is what will provide the cure. Because we say that where does Hashem dwell? In the brokenhearted. When we feel broken, we should realize then that Hashem is even closer to us than ever before. And when we acknowledge that, so to speak, that burning of the egel, if you want to say, and now it's burned into ashes, now we are feeling broken, because we can see even in the story of the egel, when did Hashem give them the command of building the Mishkan, which means when did Hashem say, I will dwell amongst you? After the sin of the golden calf. So first we sin, we feel broken, we yearn, and then we even burn more, and we realize that that burning itself, we acknowledge that the distance itself will provide our closeness, so to speak. Because we feel so distant, that makes our yearning even stronger. And not only that, but because we feel distant and we feel broken, Hashem says, I will come to you. I will rest amongst you. It's a very important thing, as we say that Hashem, the very famous thing we say, Lo yidach mimenu nidach. Hashem doesn't want anybody to ever get lost. As we say, Lev nishbar in Tilum, we say, Lev nishbar v'nitke elekim loy sevaze, right? A broken heart, Hashem doesn't despise. And very interesting, so we say that at Matan Torah, we reached, the Nesiv HaShalom says, we reached this level of closeness to Hashem because we saw the revelation. But at the Chet HaEgel, we reach the level of closeness to Hashem from a broken heart. So it's a different way of reaching the closeness to Hashem. It's from a broken heart. And then what happens, our neshama, so we're brokenhearted. And then Hashem, I just want to see if I can find, I want to show you something really, really beautiful. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah. Okay. Here is a pasuk, a pasuk in Tehillim. This is from chapter Kuf Lamed Tes, 139 in Tehillim. Very, very magnificent words. And the Nesivas Shalom brings these words, and I'll just show you something very beautiful. It says, where can I escape from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Im esak shamayim sham ata. So literally, David HaMelech is saying, there's nowhere, right? Wherever I go, you're there, Hashem. If I send to the heaven, you're there. And then, v'atziya sha'ol hineka. If I descend to sha'ol, which is the lowest descent possible, like to the pits, you are there too. And then he continues, esak kanfei shachar, eshkena b'achris yom. If I take wing with the dawn to come to rest on the western horizon, even there, gam sham yotrataheni, no matter how far I go, your hand will be guiding me. As we know, your right hand will be holding me fast. And v'aymar achayshach yishufeni v'layla ar ba'adeni. If I say, surely darkness will conceal me, night will provide me with cover. And we know, we say, even though we think that the night will provide cover, in other words, the darkness will make me distant and far from you. No, David HaMelech says, Gam chayshech lo yachshech mimeka. Darkness is not dark for you. V'layla kayoyim yo'ir. Night is as light as the day. Beautiful pasuk, this one. Yo'ir kachashecha ka'ira. Darkness and light are the same. They light up the same. But the Nesiv HaShalom says in our context, we can say that when the Jewish people felt so far, right? So first of all, in the first context, we say, if I ascend to the heaven, that's like by Matan Torah, when we had this tremendous revelation and we were on such a high level, well, then you were there, fantastic. But what happens when we descend to the depths and we do the terrible sin of Chet HaEgel? David HaMelech tells us what the Jewish people should realize, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them here. I am there with you. I never leave you, Hashem says. And even more. If you look what it says in the actual words, im esak shamayim, if I ascend to the heaven, what does it say? Sham ata. So here they translate, you are there. But sham ata means, you can say, there you are. There you are means you are there at a distance. So when we come to Hashem in a high, so to speak, sometimes we can say when we feel quite satisfied and think we're doing everything right, Hashem is at a distance. When is Hashem truly with us? We say, v'atziya sha'oil, when we descend to the depths, as the Nesiv HaShalom says, when we are brokenhearted, hineka. Hineka means Hashem is right there with us. He's immediately with us. He is there in, so to speak, so close. The more brokenhearted, the closer Hashem. The more the challenge, so to speak, the closer Hashem. There are many ways to explain this pasuk, amongst which sometimes that we say when we feel complacent or happy with ourselves, Hashem is at a distance. But even more than that, no matter how much we grow and no matter how much we achieve, we always have to realize, Sham Ata. You know, Hashem is there, so to speak. There's so much more to grow. But what gives us the strength to continue growing is the realization that no matter how low we descend, or no matter how low we have descended in the past, Hashem is always there with us. And the Nesiv HaShalom says, this is the bitterness that we felt at the time of the Chet HaEgel that gave us the most tremendous, tremendous solace, if you want to say. And Hashem literally afterwards gave us the Mishkan and dwelled Hineka literally with us. So I want to show you something very beautiful that, one more quick thing that the Nesiv HaShalom says. Boy, time goes a little too fast. He says a beautiful mashal. He says, like, for example, when you make a crown for a king, he gives an analogy. And of course, on a crown for a king, what do you want? You want the most beautiful jewels. Where do you get those jewels from? So there's two places. One place is you need some deep sea divers. They're going to go deep into the ocean and you find treasures. Or you need a miner who's going to go deep down into the earth, be willing to go down there, and there he's going to be able to extract the diamonds and all of the special jewels. if we think we, and we do, we want to create, so to speak, a crown for Hashem, and we want to come close, what we should reflect and realize that sometimes it involves our descent. Sometimes it's this chet ha'egel. Sometimes it's that brokenness. And that's where we can extract the greatest jewels for the crown of Hashem. The Nesiv HaShalom does say, though, a very beautiful thing that I want to conclude with, that the truth is this method, so it's not a method, but unfortunately this is what happens in life. But he says sometimes what can happen is when a person feels brokenhearted, it can lead to despair. Instead of leading to this fire and this burning and this yearning and this growing, sometimes, we have to be very careful, it can lead to despair where a person feels like it's too late. I can't. It's too overwhelming. I can't grow anymore. And that's what the Nesiv HaShalom tells us. Hashem gives us a very special gift. He gives us every single week the gift of Shabbos. What's the gift of Shabbos? What does that have to do? So we have, sometimes we're on a high, we have Matan Torah. Sometimes we're on a low, we have Chet HaEgel. But every week, whichever way we are, we have Shabbos. And what is Shabbos? Shabbos is a gift that Hashem gives us to help us repair. I'll tell you what, I feel bad, I would like to say it, but I don't want to, I'm going to continue next week because time is up. I will start with this next week. I will share with you how the Nesiv HaShalom explains how Shabbos is so connected and gives us, but just remember that when it comes to Shabbos, it provides a way of us coming close to Hashem with love. That's what the Nesiv HaShalom says, but we'll see it in the words next week, a little bit more depth, with tremendous love. Even if we have done mistakes, even if we are on a low level during the week, when Shabbos comes, we are all elevated, and Hashem reveals His love for us, and we feel our love for Hashem, and in that way, we come to a tremendous closeness without the danger of despair. But next week, Amir Hashem, I'll share with you that part more, because I want to do it properly. So I'll just unmute, see if I can, see if there's any questions, sorry. Okay. I think you're hopefully, I don't know why I still see muted. Some of you are still muted. Maybe you have to unmute yourself because I've unmuted. I think maybe you have to press something to unmute yourself if you want to. Okay, any questions? Okay, well, I'll see, Emirat Hashem, we'll speak next week. We'll have a shiur again next Monday morning and we will continue where we left off. Okay. I'm sorry for those who, I don't know, Chana, if you want to be muted, I'm not sure. I don't know how to unmute you. Let's see. I don't know. I think you have to do it yourself if you want. Okay. All right. Okay. Sure. Have a very, very good week. And yes, Simrit Hashem, I'll see you next week. There you go, Chana, now you're unmuted. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. I don't know what to say.
Okay, so have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.
Thank you very much.
And Mirz Hashem, next week we will continue. Okay.
Mirz Hashem, all the best.
Thank you.
Talk.
Yes, you too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.